Good morning, everybody. You know, we've put the ropes up so that you don't, but even with the ropes up, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 empty pews except for Fred. Thank you, Fred, for sitting there. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, almost 4 except for Fran and Doug. Thanks, guys, for moving up on this side. I appreciate that. But what is it about, I got to be in the back. Got to get another set of ropes, you know. Let's see here. I got to take out 4 more pews in this section and get you guys up. But you could figure it out yourself and just, you know, come on up where the fire is. You know, it's warmer up here. And turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In our continuing series, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13 on contentment. Now, there are 3 kinds of situations that we face in life. There are the things that we can control and do control. Then there are the things that we can control, but we choose not to. We say, you know, I'm not going to worry about that one. I'm going to choose my battles, and I'm going to try to control that one. And then there are the things that you just can't control. It's just beyond your control. And actually, you know, our kids fit into all 3 of these categories. You know, when your kids are anywhere from birth to 10, you can control them. You can decide the way they're going to dress when they go to school or how they're going to dress when they go to church. And you can control what they eat, everything. You know, everything, even how they do their hair, you can control all that. And then they get to be old enough where you can't control it anymore. And it's a fight, and sometimes with them you just choose, okay, you know, I could control this, but it's not worth the fight. I'm going to let this one go. And then they get old enough, and it's just, they're out of control. I can hardly do anything about it. And let me tell you a secret that I learned, and that is from 0 to 3 is when you have the most chance to shape the way they're going to be. Don't wait and say, oh, I'm going to try to, you know, one of the crazy things you hear in the world is I don't want to force religion on my kids. I'll let them decide when they get older. That'd be like saying I don't want to force health on my kids. I'll let them decide whether or not they want to go to the doctor or not when they get older. You know, I don't want to force education on my kids. I'll wait till they're 20 and let them decide whether or not they want to get an education. Church, parents, be responsible. Okay, that's not the sermon. 3 things, the things I can control and do control, the things that I can control and choose not to control, and then the things that are out of control. And that's what we're talking about today with Paul. He's saying, you know, there are things that are out of my control. I have no say in it, but I've learned to be content. Let's read together, and I'll read for you. You follow along. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. By the way, that last verse, verse 13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength, so often is taken out of context, and we use it this way. I can accomplish anything I want to accomplish because God gives me the power to do it. And that's not the context of this verse. The context of this verse is things are out of my control, but I can handle it through Christ who gives me strength. I can be flexible, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the context of I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength is in the context of being content. Now, I want to tell you, contentment is not just a resignation. It's not just a giving up and say, well, nothing I can do, so I might as well just shrug my shoulders and and go on. It's not a resignation, nor is it pretending to be happy when things are really out of control. Christian contentment is about our position and our process. Let me give you those two things. The position is that we are in Christ. And the process is that he's helping us to grow and to adjust. The scripture says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And that's back in chapter 1, we studied that. And in chapter 3, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And here he says, I've learned to be content. So we learn, we work out. God is at work in us. We're in this process of growing in him. So we're in Christ, and then we're learning, and we're growing. So it's both. I want to give you several things today from this passage about achieving, finding contentment in things with things in your life that are out of your control. You have no say over it. And I pray right now in my spirit that as I say that, something comes to your mind. What in your life is it that is hard for you, it's out of your control, you wish you could do something about it, but you can't? How are you going to learn to be content with that? Let me give you some things. Here's the first. Avoid comparing possessions and people. I think I just had room for one word there, possessions. Avoid comparing possessions, but I want to add people, because sometimes we compare people. We compare spouses. We compare children. We compare friends. And so you shouldn't compare those things either, possessions or people. Now, when it comes to possessions, we live in a consumer society here in North America. I mean, we see magazine advertisements, TV commercials. I mean, we are bombarded with, if you want to be happy in life, if you want to be content, this is what you need. You have to have this. This has to be something you eat. This has to be something you wear. This has to be something you drive. This is really what you need. This should be the toy you have. This is the latest electronic gadget for you to have. And you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be content until you have that. And so possessions. And when we start looking at our possessions and say, you know, somebody else has something that I don't, we are going to be discontent. There's always going to be somebody with a nicer car. There's always going to be somebody with a nicer house. There's always going to be somebody with a nicer suit or clothes or shoes or whatever it is. There's somebody that's going to be getting more breaks than you at work. You can't compare that. Somebody else's kids are going to get on the honor roll or win some kind of an award. Somebody else's spouse might be more attractive than the person you're married to. And if you start comparing all that, you are going to be miserable. In 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it." You didn't arrive with anything, and you're not taking anything with you. So just learn to be content, and don't compare. So what should we look at? If I'm not supposed to look at all this other stuff, well, the Bible clearly tells us in 2 Corinthians, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's look to what's eternal. Here's the second thing. Adjust to changing patterns. Oh, this is, I got to tell you, this is an administrator, not as a pastor who's dealing with people who are going through crisis, but as an administrator in the church, I recognize that things are always changing in the church. And some people have a hard time with change in the church. But I've been around long enough to know it's not going to stay the same. It's going to change on me. There is no one way to do church. And I grew up in a time, I've grown up in a time where there were a lot of people that were sure the only way to do church was the way church was done from 1930 to 1955. And if you change from that, then it's wrong. And I don't agree with that. You know, it's always going to change. But change is hard for some people. How many Catholics to change a light bulb? How many Catholics does it change to change a light bulb? None. They use candles. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? None. Because the bulbs go on and off at predestined times. You have to be a theologian to get that one. How many Amish to change a light bulb? What's a light bulb? How many Wesleyans to change a light bulb? 11. One to change the light bulb and 10 to plan the potluck that comes after. How many carnal Christians does it take to change a light bulb? Change? We're not changing. Anyway. You know, there's always been change, and it's interesting historically to just see, you know, I'm going to give you some famous people of high prominence, things that they've said in the past. Man was never meant to fly. Somebody actually said that. Here's another one. There will never be a market for computers. Well, that one has been proven wrong. Well, nothing in this world is permanent. It will always change. The only thing that will stay the same is that things are always changing. You can count on that. That will always be true. Things are always changing. And that's the only certain thing in life. So what about us? Then what do? We need to be flexible, you know. You've heard the thing that the trees that do the best are the ones that can kind of go with the breeze and the wind. And when they bend, but the ones that are going to be rigid are going to break. So we've got to be flexible. And that's what Paul says here. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Now, Paul was writing this when he was a prisoner. He had no control over anything. He ate what was brought to him as he was a prisoner. He didn't, there was no menu to order off of. He didn't go to the restaurant. He didn't even do his own cooking. It was just whatever was brought to him is what he had to eat. But he'd learned to be content with that. He was chained to guards. He couldn't go anywhere. He had learned to be content. And he was saying, I'm flexible. I can handle it. I can adjust. I can adjust. I can cope. And with whatever is changing in our lives through the power of Christ, and that's the next point we're going to get to, you can adjust. You have to be willing to adjust. You have to be willing to cope. Don't be rigid and just say, I can't take it differently. You've got to adjust. Here's the third thing. We allocate Christ's power. Verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can cope. I can adjust. I can deal with what's changing around me through him who gives me strength. He has unlimited resources to help me with this. Now, verse 12 talked about contentment. I've learned to be content. And verse 13 talks about confidence. I can do it because Jesus is the one who helps me to do it. He's the one who makes me capable, who makes me up to the challenge. He is the one who gives me strength. And the word for strength in this passage is dunamis. Does that sound familiar to you? It's the same root word for dynamite. I can do this through Christ who gives me dynamic ability. You can make it. You can cope. Number 4, anticipate Christ's provision. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's verse 19. Jesus, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, made this statement. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Oh my goodness, the pagans run after drinking and eating and wearing. How much the church looks like the world sometimes, huh? The pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The real reason that people aren't content is because Jesus isn't at the center of their lives. Do we need this message? I talked to you about the process, but also the position. Are you in Christ? Is he the center of your life? Are you in him, and is he in you? Are you in Christ? Without Christ as the center, we move from one fad to another. We move from one book to the next seminar. We move from one person to the next. We move from one marriage to the next. We move from one job to another job. We're always looking for the latest hobby. What can I do? I'm not content. You need to be in Christ. Here's a promise in 2 Corinthians that talks to us about being in Christ. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient. The word sufficient there is the same word that is translated contentment in Philippians. And so if you want to just, you know, translations, I've talked to you about translations before. There's no exact translation, but this is the exact same word that in Corinthians gets translated contentment, but here in 2 Corinthians, it gets translated sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. And so if we can change it around, let me say, my grace is contentment for you. My grace is contentment for you. Are you satisfied with him? Is Jesus enough? I think that's a powerful question for any one of us as a believer. Is Jesus enough? Or do you have to have Jesus plus something else? Is he enough? We need to be satisfied. It doesn't mean that you're going to like a bad situation or pretend that it's okay or psych yourself up or just kind of, you know, live in a fantasy world. This is good. Oh, this is. It's not that. It's saying, I can deal with it. I can deal with this because Jesus gives me strength. Jesus is enough. Now, how has the Lord applied this to you? What is the situation that from the beginning of this message, God has said, this is your out-of-control situation? I just need to ask, is Jesus enough? Can you be flexible? Can you deal with it with his power? Lord Jesus, I know that you're applying this message to someone who is frustrated, maybe even angry about a situation that's out of control. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to learn to be flexible and to do it in the strength that you give, that they can do it through Christ who gives them strength. Let it be so, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Underway in 3, 2, 1. Is everybody ready?